621, 1320 WILS. So the effort to legalize marijuana in Michigan is moving very quickly and successfully. Over 100,000 signatures so far. This will likely be on the 2018 ballot. But here's the interesting thing, that one of the, well, the biggest backer of the effort is a tobacco outlet chain. Why is tobacco supporting the effort? James, or I should say, Jeff Zinsmeister is with us, Executive Vice President of Smart Alternatives to Marijuana. And he joins us here on WILS. Jeff, great to have you here.
Hey, thanks very much for having me on, Michael. Appreciate it.
Are you guys an anti-marijuana group?
No, look, you know, Smart Approaches to Marijuana is a 501c3 that we're a nonprofit that focuses actually on what we would say evidence-based approaches to this. I mean, we're not interested in locking people up for a joint, but we also are very, very concerned about the very dynamic you refer to, which is that legalization is really turning into a big money grab.
Let's see. 5, 4, 3. Well, that's it. Sometimes let's get him back on the line. You never know. Sometimes it's there. It can come back. This time it didn't. So the concern, I'll give you some of it. Jeff's concerned mostly about tobacco getting involved. He's concerned about major interests coming in and controlling and promoting marijuana and basically addicting young people to smoking a lot of marijuana just for the profit. That this is not just a story about advocates who are concerned about people being jailed for marijuana. Jeff Zinsmeister again here with us with Smart Alternatives to Marijuana. So you say you don't want people locked up, but you don't want it to be, what, overly commercialized?
No, what we're seeing is that what legalization really means is addiction for profit. In other words, it's not the guy growing a plant in his backyard. What it is, you know, a handful of wealthy, frankly, largely white male executives looking to make money off of a harmful product that's addictive. And the pattern that we know that from the tobacco industry and the century that we've spent sort of dealing with that issue is that the money all comes from people who have problematic use and from young people who are the most likely to develop problematic use. And we're already seeing the same tendencies in other states from the marijuana industry. In other words, targeting young people with kid-friendly pot candies and pot lollipops, and also overturning a lot of anti-smoking regulations that people take for granted now, I think. For example, in Denver, the pot lobby last year passed an amendment there that now allows restaurants to open pot smoking sessions. In other words, you know, going back to the sort of the bad old days of when you would, you know, go into a restaurant and there would, you know, you'd be getting people secondhand smoke from, you know, a few tables over. A friend of my family's always said, you know, smoking section in a restaurant is like a peeing section in a pool. It's just not, you know, that's the kind of dynamic that we're up against here, is that it's just another addiction for profit model with all of the public harms and the public health problems that came from the heyday of big tobacco, which is why you're seeing.
Yeah. So are you against legalization, period? I'm trying to understand that.
Yes. I mean, look, we've helped draft in some other states, legislation that we think strikes a balance, you know, sort of that doesn't punish people with, you know, criminal records the rest of their lives
what is the balance? Because if it's not legal, then there should be a penalty, right? So what are you proposing?
No, there are smart decriminalization policies and other alternatives to incarceration that we can follow. I mean, you know, you can look at, for example, the, you know, drug treatment courts that allow people to, you know, that basically divert people from jail and get people who need treatment, sort of publicly funded treatment. Mm-hmm. There are many cities in Michigan have already decriminalized marijuana use. So nobody's going, you know, those municipal ordinances have replaced jail time with fines. Many other states have experimented with policies that are somewhere in the middle, but basically say, look, if you're, you know, Friday night poker game.
You believe there should be a fine associated at least for marijuana?
Well, it depends on where it's, you know, what the use is associated with. I mean, the guy who's smoking a joint in his, you know, basement on a Friday night, you know, we're not looking to stigmatize that or really punish that severely, but somebody who's caught smoking a joint in a motor vehicle, you know, that's a different story, and I think that, you know, that the sanctions should be a little bit higher. But what we really don't want is this free for this corporate free for all that we're seeing under these legalization laws, where we see tobacco interests moving in, because it's really, frankly, a very, very savvy business move for them.
Now, what are they doing? Because I know in Michigan there's this one group. They're $150,000. That's how much they've put into the effort to legalize in Michigan. It's called Smoker's Outlet. Just what is tobacco hoping to see here?
I think long term they're looking to, you know, regain some of the economic territory that they've lost in this country with cigarettes. You know, it's not just the small, you know, sort of tobacco retail outlets at the national level. We've also seen the parent company of R.J. Reynolds, the big tobacco giant, has been giving other pro-legalization groups money as well. So I think the long game here is what the tobacco company started back in the, actually as far back as the 1960s, Michael, is seeing this as an extension of their existing tobacco business. In other words, it's another plant that's grown, cured, rolled into a cigarette and smoked. So it's very, very easy move from tobacco to tobacco and marijuana, or marijuana.
Yeah. If you're going to legalize, which looks like it's going to be happening, I mean, it's happening more and more, may happen in Michigan, how do you keep these big interests out then?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think it's interesting to see what's happened in 2017, and we've seen legalization bills go down in states where they were, you know, expected to pass. You know, conventional wisdom said they would pass, for example, in Vermont and in Rhode Island.
Yeah, but in Ohio too, right?
In Ohio and Arizona, actually, as late as last year, that initiative failed as well when it was supposed to succeed. So, you know, as we're seeing more negative data come out of states like Colorado, and as people are seeing these big moneyed corporate interests start moving in on this territory, I think you're seeing a bit of a change in the way people are viewing these initiatives too.
Really?
It's not just sort of a grass.
You don't think we're heading towards nationwide legalization? You don't think that's in our future?
I just don't think it's inevitable. I mean, I think you're seeing, you know, I think they've obviously won in some of the most liberal states in the country that have legal, you know, sort of these initiative laws. But you know, they said they lost in Ohio a couple years ago. They lost in Arizona last year. They've been losing in state legislatures this year. I just don't think it's a foregone conclusion, and I think folks who are betting on that may, you know, they might want to reassess that just given the track record. It's, you know, this is not Michigan, is not California.
Well, we do have medical marijuana here. Do you view that as a totally different issue than legalization?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, we think we're concerned that there are people making a lot of unproven medical claims on something that the FDA hasn't approved. But in terms of the focus on this initiative, look, I mean, we would just point out that like you said, Michigan has medical marijuana programs in place. So this isn't about compassion. I mean, if it were about compassion, people would be looking at these medical marijuana laws and ways to tweak them. This is just about money. And I think that it's reflected in the fact that about half of the direct donations are coming from this one chain of tobacco shops, if I read the financial
reports
correctly.
It's incredible. The next highest is only 58,000, but the Smoker's Outlet, 150,000 in the effort to legalize here in Michigan. It's Jeff Zinsmeister, Executive Vice President at Smart Alternatives to Marijuana. Find him at learnaboutsam.org. Learnaboutsam.org. Hey, Jeff, great to have you on WILS. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you for having me, Michael.
Yep.
Have a great afternoon.
You